This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here today. Beginning of the school year right around the corner. Wanted to get an update in Sutherland. Superintendent Terry Prestigiani. Terry, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Good afternoon, Kyle. Glad to be here.
So first of all, tell us about when classes are slated to begin in the Sutherland School District. What are the details that parents there need to know?
Well, we're actually starting Monday, August 30th, so this coming Monday. We will have all grades 1, 2, and 3 will be there. Grade 6 for the middle school, grade 9 for the high school. So there's a slow start for the middle school, high school, and actually the West Intermediate. And then the following day, which is August 31st, grades 4 and 5, grades 7 and 8, and everybody else start school on that day.
So explain.
Preschool and kindergarten classes are on a modified schedule August 30th through September 2nd.
So tell us more about why you kind of phase kids in. What's behind that?
We've been doing that for years here. It's just an opportunity for students who are moving from one school to another, when they get to that school, to become familiar with the staff at the school, the processes and procedures at that school, and help them feel more comfortable so that they're not thrown in to the mix with a whole bunch of other students. And we've also, our kindergarten will be split into two different groups. They're not going to come in on the same day. And we actually had a kindergarten camp earlier this year to get them familiar with their buildings. So really it's about getting kids in, getting them comfortable with the building and their teachers.
So give us your overall feeling about the beginning of the school year.
I would say hopeful. I think that our students and staff really want to see each other. It's good that we are starting the school year out in person, and staff are very positive and want to have that interaction with their students. And in our conversations with students on the street and at registration, and those that are participating in sports right now, they're excited to get back, see their friends, and be with their teachers.
As the school year begins, what's going to be similar this year? What's going to be different?
It's kind of a long list of things on both sides. At this particular point in time, what's going to be similar is our social distancing is still going to take place. We're still going to have cohorting of students, but they'll be in much larger cohorts. Masking, and we'll still be offering some distance learning options. And then we will continue to clean and sanitize at a much higher rate than we did pre-pandemic. As far as things looking differently, last year, our secondary students were on an AB schedule, so grades 6 through 12. That it will no longer be. All students will be in the building at the same time. We're going back to our original start times. Last year, we staggered our start. Our elementary started later than our secondary in an effort to split up our bus routes and split up the number of students on buses. That's no longer going to be the case. They're all going to start at the same time. I guess that's really what will be different at this particular point in time.
So what kind of community input have you gotten on the state of Oregon mask mandate from the governor and the other things that the state is asking the districts to do this school year?
Well, it's been a difficult run throughout the pandemic. I think the mask mandate has been an issue with parents and even our school board. And in doing some polling, we found that most, at least a majority, feel like it should be a personal choice. And that has been the board stance. But at this particular point, that appears to be water under the bridge. Right now, I think the mask mandate is a symptom of what we see as a bigger problem. And we feel like it's a lack of local control. I think a lot of our parents feel that way. Even those who want masking also know that it's we don't have a lot of local control here in Douglas County of our own schools, and we don't have the ability to respond to our local culture, and we feel like we're not heard for our unique needs. So that's all kind of added up and come to a head under the mask mandate, and it's come to a head under a lot of the changes that have taken place with the pandemic. So there's a lot of frustration, and I think that frustration comes again from we feel we're not heard, and we know that here in Sutherland and here in Douglas County, our schools do a great job. Our public schools are awesome. We offer lots of opportunities to students, but again, our voices aren't heard very well in Salem.
And during this pandemic, there's been shift back and forth as things have changed. At one point there, the governor was putting things back out for more local control on a lot of different levels, not just education. Then that shifted back as we saw the influx of the cases come back in recent weeks. What opportunity, or have you had any opportunity to really make your concerns known at the state level?
Well, we've done a lot of letter writing. We've worked at the board level to do certain things. And we've contacted our local legislatures. We've contacted our county commissioners. We've contacted and spoke with the Oregon Department of Education. Most recently, we are working on formulating or bringing together a coalition of Douglas County schools to look at other options, to maybe look at some legal action, or even look at hiring a lobbyist who can help us to get our voices heard. We've been the squeaky wheel, or one of the squeaky wheels in the state, and I think we're going to continue to do that. I feel that we want to be heard.
What kind of level of response did you get from the community compared to response you would get normally in other situations?
Can you rephrase that? I guess I don't understand the question, Kyle.
So compared to lots of other issues that come up where you get community comment, what kind of level of comment did you get on the mask mandate and these other things? Were you hearing from a lot more people on the issue than you normally would on a controversy?
Gotcha. Yes. Yeah, we're hearing a lot more on all of the mandates. And again, I think it's a symptom of everything that is built up over years and years and years of us, being told exactly what our curriculum should be and how that should work, along with other things. So yes, we've heard more, but I will tell you that that our community, and while not everybody is supportive, the majority have been extremely supportive in our efforts to fight for what we think is right for our students and our community. They've been super supportive of the fact that a lot of the decisions that are made are not our decisions and they come somewhere else. So there's been a lot more concern, but I feel like we also have a lot of support.
Now, in terms of other things coming down from Salem, do you have some concern about losing some staff due to the vaccination mandate?
Sure. I think any district in the county would have some concerns with that. It's obviously a big issue, and in many cases, it's a personal issue. So we don't want to lose staff, and we're going to do what we can to support staff. I think another issue that comes along with the immunization mandate is the timing of it. When it's timed here, right at the beginning of the school year, right as we're trying to get things started, that puts and pits a lot of staff, community members, administration, bargaining units against each other, because everybody's trying to fight for what they can for students and for their own people. And it really pits people against each other when it's kind of last minute like that.
And as well, and it sounds like from what I've been able to read so far, there's still a lot of question marks about, for instance, medical exemptions potentially, or religious exemptions, things like that. It sounds like a lot of the guidance isn't totally been spelled out to the districts yet.
You're correct. Yeah, no, it hasn't all been spelled out, and What has been spelled out is only in a vague manner. So we're going to continue to look at all options for keeping our staff employed. We're going to support them in any way we can, and we're going to carefully read the guidance. We're going to carefully read the frequently asked questions, and continue to seek our legal counsel and consult with our other people in the county to make decisions. And we're going to wait for any possible changes, but we hope to continue to support our staff as much as we possibly can.
Got to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Superintendent Terry Prestiani of the Sutherland School District. The interview will be a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1246. Back in a moment on Inside Douglas County from News Radio 1240 KQEN. Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming at 1. Umpqua Valley Live this afternoon. We'll be talking with Temecula Road playing out in Sutherland on Saturday. Got some other guests as well on Inside Douglas County, or rather on Umpqua Valley Live later today. On Inside Douglas County Monday, we'll be joined by Congressman Peter DeFazio. Superintendent Terry Prestiani of the Sutherland School District with us this afternoon. Wanted to ask about the virtual instruction. What kind of offerings do you have virtually for this school year?
Well, Kyle, we have for about 6 years, we've had our Sutherland Valley Online Academy, which is partially virtual and partially in person. We've offered online education for students 7 through 12 there for several years. We are continuing with that. Students who are in grades 7 through 12 have two options in attending Sutherland Valley Online Academy, one of which is just a very non-traditional setting where they will continue in Sutherland Valley Online Academy normally through their career. And then we've added this year, we've moved our distance learning from our secondary buildings into Sutherland Valley Online Academy, and they can do distance learning through there, and with the intent to return to in-person instruction in the buildings at semester or at the end of the year and when they're comfortable coming back to school. So the Sutherland Valley Online Academy is still functioning well for grades 7, 6 through 12. And then this year, to make sure we had a distance learning option for our younger students, we now offer K through 5 online at Sutherland Valley Online Academy. And same kind of thing, these students can, if they enroll in the online program, they have to stay for at least a semester, but can transfer back to in-person learning. The K through 5 online learning uses a Edgenuity program, and there is a teacher actually provided by the program that we purchase.
What kinds of interest are you seeing in virtual instruction? Has it gone up or has it come down some?
I think it's gone up just a little bit, quite possibly. So for Sutherland Valley Online Academy, it's gone up for us. We ended the year last year at Sutherland Valley Online Academy with 75 students online, and this year we are starting with about 115. And there are students who are going to other homeschool programs or other virtual academies around the state. And while this is the case, it seems like our enrollment in both our online academy and our in-person schools is up from last year. Just it's still down from pre-pandemic levels.
Have you had to add staff due to the virtual instruction aspect?
We did this year. We added a K through 5 special education case manager who will be managing the special education cases for students K through 5. That case manager will also be helping as a liaison between the K through 5 program and the parents. Yes, we have added that staff. But other than that, we're staying with the staff that we currently have.
As we look at the area of sports and extracurricular activities, is it kind of back to normal to start the school year?
Well, I wouldn't say it's exactly back to normal, but it is much closer than it was last year. Yes, all of our sports teams are practicing. We have had some students that need to quarantine, but yes, essentially our athletic teams are back and in full swing.
I imagine you expect shifts in this area as the year goes on.
If you're referring specifically to sports, yes, I'm sure there will be shifts along the way. I do know that I got notification from Josh Browning, our athletic director, yesterday that some of the teams in our league have not had enough players, and so they've dropped programs, or at least for temporarily for the year. So there's been a lot of rescheduling of games going on at this particular point in time. So, and I think that could happen a little more throughout the year as athletic teams are quarantined. But yeah, I see there's going to be some shifts, but I think we're well set up to adjust to those.
What's the mood of the staff as the school year begins?
You know, I'm going to say overall it's really good. I think our staff really wants to get back in and be with kids. I know that our kids are wanting to be here. I think there's the struggle with the on and off again and uncertainty that everybody feels, and I don't think that's just in particular to our staff, but that makes it difficult. I think the key here is knowing that the staff here in our schools, and I think the staff around this county, do such a great job. Public education here in Douglas County is phenomenal. We do great things, and our staff know that, and they want to get back to doing that on a daily basis with kids in front of them.
After nearly 18 months of this pandemic, is leading a district getting any easier, or is it getting harder?
Well, I wouldn't say it's getting any easier, but I will say that again, and I always try to be positive, but this is true and from the heart. I think that while it's not getting any easier, with the staff that we have and their commitment to kids and what we do, with the school board that we have here and their commitment to kids and what we do, and I think the community itself and the support they've given us, even though it's been tough, being a school leader is difficult, but you can't spend a lot of time complaining when you got that kind of support around you. So it's tough, not getting any easier, but it's, you know, good to see the people we have here getting really good things done in the school and community.
Let's focus on the school board a little bit during this time. What kind of things have they been working on?
Well, our board is just steadfast in their supporting of students and staff, and that can take on many different aspects. But they've helped us again, supported us in putting new initiatives in. They've supported us in creating new online programs that meet students' needs, and they've been just again super supportive of our staff. And then we're, you know, at this particular point in time, we're looking at setting goals for the next year, and we'll be doing that in September. Last year we put off our goal setting because everything was obviously we were just in survival mode last year. So in the next couple of months we're going to be setting goals for this year and quite possibly the next 5 years.
As you look at the buildings, things like that, are there any building projects going on?
Actually, yes, we have some building projects going on. We are using some of our capital improvement funds to make some changes. So we've had a very large siding project on East Primary School that is taking up some time, and that should be finished next summer. And then we are also we've also just painted the high school, which has been a big improvement. And we'll continue with those capital improvement programs as money is there. And we've also done some work with federal dollars for our heating, air conditioning, and airflow in our buildings.
As we begin the school year, what's your biggest fear going into the school year?
I guess I wouldn't call it a fear. I just want to make sure that we keep our students in school in front of our teachers as much as possible. I think that's super important. And obviously we're concerned about safety, but we know that from research that the best place for kids to be is in school in front of their teachers and having those good social interactions. So I wouldn't call it a fear. I just want to make sure we're doing everything we can to keep them here. And I guess the only fear that I have is that that there are a lot of shifts that make it really, really difficult for schools and communities and parents to work together. I don't want to see that. Again, I have faith in what we're doing here. I have faith in what we're doing in the county, but I just don't want to see some major mandates come down that are going to change what we're doing.
Final 30 seconds. What's your biggest hope for this school year?
I think I already said that. I think my biggest hope is that we keep our kids in front of our teachers. I hope that we keep our athletes on the field. I hope that we keep our band students doing performances and things look as normal as possible, Kyle.
All right, Superintendent Terry Prestiani of the Sutherland School District, thanks for being on today.
Thank you, Kyle. Have a good day.
1257 Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.